Good evening, everybody. My name is Margo. This is my podcast, What's Your Book About? And tonight's guest is the one and only, my friend and mentor, Mark Letty from Polished and Works. Led, how the hell are you, mate?
I'm good, mate. Spent the whole day getting ready, you know, dolled up, got the suit on, gold thong on, doing vocal exercises.
You know, the gold thong would have been enough, never mind the suit, but look, you know, I would have got
this
that.
This is where you realise I have a face for radio and I don't have a voice for radio either.
Yeah, well, look, listen, it's okay. We'll let you away with it, all right? We'll let you away with it this once. So, listen, I know our story and we'll get into that in a wee bit. But look, tell me a bit about you. How you got started, how long you've been doing it, where you got the itch for doing the cars, etc., etc. Tell me a wee bit about yourself, please.
Yeah, no worries. Well, first up, I detail, in case anyone hadn't realised. I do product sales and training at the moment, but let me think. I would probably started this 17 years ago or something now. I think it was drilled into me very early. I had a very good childhood, and I owe a hell of a lot to my parents. And As a kid, the petrol sort of was drilled into me very quickly. My dad bought me my first scrambler when I was 9. And I think the one of the vivid memories for me is my dad handing me a bottle of Teacut and telling me to go and protect my wee 50cc scrambler. God love him, he didn't have a clue what he was talking about, but I think that was drilled in very early, that you needed to protect and maintain your investment. And like when I grew up, my dad every weekend would have had a scrap beetle being tore apart in the driveway. You know, I grew up with my dad working in the garage every weekend and doing mechanical stuff and polishing up and cleaning and all that kind of thing. So yeah, I think it was part of my childhood, really. And it was always there. And then obviously when I passed my test at 17, on my 17th birthday, my mum and dad handed me the keys. It was to their car at the time. It was a wee 106. But again, it was, you need to look after this. So it was cleaning and polishing, and I just always found it really therapeutic. I think it just, it never felt, it was sort of a bit of escapism. You never felt stressed or anything like that with it. It was kind of get away from your job or anything like that. It just felt natural to me, and it felt very, very enjoyable. So when I passed my test, I think, you know, I was very lucky in my first year of driving cars. I think I had 12 or 13 cars in my first year. So I would have been up at the car auctions with my dad pretty much every week or every other fortnight, you know. I changed my car often. But in the first year, I never lost any money on any car. And I think it was because everything that I bought was given a real good going over. And I think I'm going to echo probably 99% of the industry here and say that everyone starts doing their own cars. And then it evolves into mates asking, and their mates start asking. And quite quickly, I realized that, you know, I could do this, something that I really was very good at. And enjoyed doing, and I could make a few quid at it. Now, in the early days, see with yourself, Margo, making a few quid really was making a few quid. You were lucky to break even, because you were just happy doing it and to cover the product costs. And you know, if you got a crate of beer at the end of it, you were happy. But it's been an evolution from there, really. That, you know, you have to try and get out of the routine of it being a passion. And when you start to realize that you need bills to be paid with it, the business head has to sort of evolve and grow. And if that doesn't, then you're always going to be polishing cars for crates of beer. You're never going to pay for the house that you own, you know.
Funny, the first time I ever went down to you wouldn't take any money off me, so I brought you a crate of beer.
I tell you, I'm not like that anymore.
Yeah, we know. No more cases of Magners.
But, you're saying that right enough. I honestly, there is 8 crates of Magners in my unit right now.
I believe it.
Everyone still brings them.
Yeah, I believe it. That's your tip.
Yeah, I've evolved to gin now as well, so there's a bit of a bit of a difference. I'll move it up. Yeah,
moving up.
Success is pink gin.
Yeah, there you go, Nick. well, listen. Shout out to Liam and Loretta for just being the fantastic.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, I've had the privilege of meeting him. Loretta has fed me on many occasions, and even on our training day, she still makes me my own wee tin of buns because she knows how I roll. So, which is fantastic.
I don't even make the training days, Marco. Let's be honest. Here you have the meeting on the way down to any journey down. There's a box of buns being eaten.
But look, listen, that's just part of the road trip. I mean, we'll just accept that for what it is. So look, we cross paths whenever one of the very first car groups were out on Facebook social media, which was OCD, Obsessive Cleaning Disorder.
Mm-hmm.
We crossed paths on there, got friendly enough. I was always asking for advice and bits and pieces. And then I was asking about my first machine polisher because I hadn't evolved from then. It was more just the Valen side of things.
Yeah.
And you kindly invited me down. And Christ, what a job it was. You know, I'll never forget it. The M3, it's still a learning curve to this day.
Absolutely.
And we still talk about it on the training days.
Yeah.
And, you know, I remember the early days of, you know, you were an admin on that page. I was an admin for a brief time, and to be honest with you, it was so hard to try and keep everybody happy. And that was
it's completely thankless, you know. Yeah. But I think we certainly developed a lot of friends through that. Oh. We developed a friendship through that ourselves. And shout out to Paul, who's probably listening as well. Lifelong friends developed from a social media group that you kind of think, oh, it's just the guys chatting about cars and cleaning cars online. It sounds a bit sad when you say it like that, but the fact that you go and actually meet these people face to face and the friendships that we have developed through a job that we're passionate about is insane. Yeah. Absolutely nuts. And it sort of takes you a bit to stand back and think, you know, who do you talk to every day?
Yeah.
And it's the guys I talk to every day are the guys that are doing the job every day. And it's insane to think that, you know, I have schoolmates and yes, very, very good friends with them, but, you know, and lifelong childhood friends, but I do not talk to them every day the way I would talk to my detailing associates and friends, you know.
I think that's the thing. It's, don't get me wrong, to some people it's a job, and it is a job, and it's a job that I love, but it's the friendship side of things as well. Like, I mean, I've met some, you know, amazing friends through it. You, Paul, I met Andy on one of your first training days back then.
That's right, Foundation Day in Lorne,
And like, me and Andy just hit it off from there, started chatting. In fact, I think we spent most of the day talking, me and him, exchanged numbers. Totally,
it was quite clear the attraction from the start between the two of you, to be honest with you.
And, you know, and there's a friendship. And for me, you know, I was asked this question a while ago, and look, I hail from Belfast, and the whole green and orange Catholic Protestant thing was a big thing. And for me, one of the greatest things that ever happened to me was whenever I was younger, I get picked to go on, I get sent to America through a project called the ICF. It was the Irish Children's Fund. And the whole sense behind it was to get young Catholics and young Protestants, send them off to an American family for 6 weeks and show them that, look, the shit that yous are brought up and you see over here on the daily, that it doesn't happen everywhere else. And it was brilliant for me. You know, I met some great guys. And to be honest with you, after I finished with the ICF and got to my young teenage years, and you know, that bit left, and you know, I'd had multiple jobs, And it wasn't until I get into the cars that I kind of got that feeling, and even an even stronger feeling then. There, it broke down barriers for me. You know, I became friends with people that I would never have became friends with otherwise. And yep. I'm not talking about just a, well, how are you? It's proper friendships, you know, it's phone calls, it's text messages, it's speaking on Facebook, it's, you know, and to me that was like, I can't emphasize that enough. Like, that was a great thing for me, you know, because I love meeting people. I love chatting, hearing their stories. How did you get in there? What do you do? You know, I love hearing how people are getting on, their strengths, yeah, their weaknesses. And, you know, it's a big thing for me. And I love the fact that we, you know, whether it be through the cars, through the training days, even days that we haven't been hosting and we've just been attending as trainees and we've just met guys, you know, and that to me is just, that's priceless. You know what? I love that side. And like, it's not even as if it's just over here. I mean, shout out to the guys, UK, Scotland, you know, we've been over to Italy, it's Spain.
It always makes me laugh or smile anyway, to think of you arriving down with your wee freshly bought DA polisher with your name stamped on the back of it.
Yeah, that's right.
tackling a vandalised M3 for a good friend of mine, Andy, just think the progression from there to, you know, be invited out to Italy and Spain, and being paid to go out to these countries to learn or teach, you know, your methods. It's just phenomenal. Like, the thing, you start in the driveway, cleaning your own car, and then suddenly people are willing to pay to hear what you have to say about their products and be interested in their brand and representing their brand. It's just phenomenal. It always gets me, and it keeps you humble to keep thinking to you know where you started from and the progression that you've made to date. It's just. I still can't get over it, and I treat every day as a blessing that I get to do what I really, really don't class as work. You know, never once feels, oh, I have to get up and get to work. It never feels like that to me. Every single day I'm working, I'm always ready to go. Can't wait to go and see what I can achieve with whatever car I'm working on, and that could be a 200 quid banger or it could be a 200 grand Ferrari. It both. I still get the same enthusiasm for.
Yeah, you know, that's the thing. It's like, even though you get to work on these amazing cars and some real expensive ones and things, but, you know, I still to this day, I love getting a job that is an absolute stinker, but it's the transformation that you can achieve with things along the way, you know, and I get great satisfaction from that, you know, when you stand back and you're like, yeah, I've done that. You know, and to me, it's very rewarding. So, like you say, you hit the nail on the head there. Yes, there's some days where you're tired or whatever, but I love it. You know, for me, it's, you mentioned the word therapeutic earlier, and it is very therapeutic. It gets me out of my head. I'm literally in a wee trance. I know what I'm doing.
Nothing else. It's really focusing at the task at hand, and a very, very good way of just letting things go, really. I honestly think it's, you know, even guys that are petrol heads, I think we'll all sort of sing from the same hymn sheet that, you know, getting out, even if they're not doing it as a profession, but at the weekend, if they've a high pressure, stressed job, there's nothing better getting out on a Saturday morning and cleaning the car for themselves, you know. And to think, you know, what that be, what, 11, 12 years ago when you came down to me?
Crazy.
And to think now, you know, we've real high end businessmen paying us to tell them how to do that correctly.
Which is still
brilliant. Like absolutely brilliant.
Yeah, it's still a bit of it's crazy to think, you know, and I mean, look, I make no secret of it. At the very start, you know, I struggled with kind of believing in myself that I could do
100%.
You know, like, who am I to be here to be teaching these guys?
Self-doubt.
Self-doubt. And I think a lot of guys in the game struggle with it, you know, from speaking to people. and the world.
But I think it was probably the industry at the time, Marco, as well. I don't think it's as it is now. I think things have progressed very well. When when you started this, and when we sort of started to get to know each other, it was much bitchier than it is now. Yep. And I know that, you know, there'd be some high-end detailers certainly give you and I stick for going out there and training people. Who are we to train people on it? Well, you know what? I wasted a youth in a garage playing about with waxes and polish and all that kind of thing. And I'm happy to share that information. And, you know, as you say, every day of the week, it's a learning curve. You never stop learning with this thing. So why can't we go out and show what we have learned over the last, you know, 17 years for me? It's close enough for yourself as well, you know.
Yeah, no, listen, mate, 100%. And to be honest, I would definitely agree with you that at the very start, it was very, very, very bitchy. And, you know, it was like you said, you know, again, you said they're a thankless task. I mean, I remember at times thinking, why are you even wasting your time and energy here, Trent? Like, grown men, that was the bit that I could never understand. It was just grown men carrying on. If you felt like you were back at school. And it was, that was the bit that I just never understood, you know. And I think that, like, even there is elements of it today, and you see it, but I think for all the badness, there's a lot more good, but the badness just stands out sometimes, you know. And it's,
but I also think it's an evolution in yourself as well, Marco, that you get to the point where you realise no one else's opinion really matters. If you're doing what you enjoy doing and people are willing to pay for you, the privilege of creating a result for them, it doesn't matter what Bob down the road thinks of your standard of work or the conditions that you work in or anything like that. That's absolutely irrelevant. So the sooner you pick that up, and it does take quite a bit of time to get past that, you know. Even now, there's people that will class every man and his dog that are starting, you know, with COVID, there's a lot of businesses have started up, you know, guys being on furlough, and they're realizing that they're quite passionate about it, and they're sort of thinking, you know what, I could maybe create a job from this. And, you know, all the hardcore professionals that have been doing it for a decade are sort of going, oh, look at all these guys starting up. You cannot class everyone as competition. Yep. There's so many cars on the road. It doesn't matter if another guy sets up 10 minutes away from you. If he's half your price, then the customers that he's getting is probably not ever going to be your customer, you know. If you're twice the price than he is, you're never going to get them in the door anyway.
You know, listen, that's something that me and you have discussed at length. And, you know, to be honest with you, what you said there, that's perfect, because this whole COVID thing has fucked a lot of people up. And, you know, there's a lot of guys there who were maybe always passionate about cars, but they thought, I could never make a career of this. And then maybe it took life to throw a fucking curveball at them. And now they're like, I mean, look, there's a couple of guys close enough range to me, and, you know, a few in particular there who were down training with yourself, and, you know, something, I've known them a long time. They're nice lads, they're nice guys, and you do get people say, like, you're not fucking raging that, you know, he's doing cars now. And the reality is, there's plenty of work out there for everybody.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, this is the thing, and I never understood that. And I can always reflect back, because, you know, I was a bin man at one point, and I had a job that I absolutely hated. And it wasn't until I finally threw the towel in after 5.5 years and said, right, fuck this, I absolutely hate this job. I passed my test. It was, first car I ever owned was a wee Peugeot 206. It was a bucket of shit. It was my wee bucket of shit. And I went to town on it. You know, I know I'm going to mention the H word here, and I know it's a, you know, it's a sin in the detailing book, but Halfords, I went over to Halfords and got my my kit, and I evolved from there, you know. And I could spend hours, like, you know, Naomi used to share that with me, how long does it take you to clean a fucking car? And, mate, I just get zoned in, and then it was picking up wee pieces as you go along, and then, like you say, it was neighbours, oh, here, you're pretty good at that, can you do my car? It's friends.
Can you do mine next?
Yeah, oh, can you do
it's the reason I'm bald.
don't have any fucking paint there, you know, the usual shit. Yeah. And it's, but yeah, mate, it kind of, so I mean, like you say, you mentioned being humble earlier on, but I never forget that, you know what I mean? I don't forget starting out, and I don't forget when I first, tell you what, later, before this podcast, man, I was sitting reflecting back, me and you first meeting and things, and I'll never forget Fallout Remover. I wasn't very knowledgeable on Fallout Remover. It was a particularly new thing to me. And me and you were on OCD at the time. Now, we'd only just kind of get friendly. And again, I put a post up. I can't remember what it was. He put a post up about Fallout Remover, and I had said, you know, what is this or whatever? And he came straight back within minutes and had said, you know, you call yourself a professional and you don't know what a Fallout Remover is. And I remember being like, Jesus fucking Christ. Like, I mean, he's really taking offense to this. Yeah. And that was my eyes opened right there and then to, like, just how fucking catty it can be. You came straight on. You know, you were straight in and were like, look, Marco's just not familiar with this range. Of course he knows. And I remember thinking, like, Jesus Christ, this is like being back at school.
It is. It's a very strange industry. I don't know that any other industry, like, I don't know that the electrical industry or the plumbing industry or any other trade, really.
I just can't for the life of me imagine two electricians arguing outside the hardware store, you know, who has a walkie drill and who has, you know, it's fucking, and I used to say, girls, I used to think the beauty industry was bitchy, but Jesus, no, I mean, I take that back, you know. We always joked and says when we retire, we're going to open up a beauty salon for the detailers, and it's fucking crazy, like, you know, and it's...
I just think that there isn't any other industry like it, you know. It is, we have to remember that everyone can go out and clean their car. You know, and this is the problem, you know, not everyone can go and rewire their kitchen or plumb in a new kitchen or a bathroom or anything like that. I wouldn't know where to start, but everyone knows where to start, where they think they know where to start with cleaning a car, because cleaning a car means different things to different people. So it's always, you're going to get a lot of experts online regardless, because it is seen as a fairly simple job. And the reality is, you and I both know that you can be very scientific with it and methodical and all that kind of things. There's things done in the right way, or what we would deem as the right way, and different opinions are there, and people will always voice their opinions on social media and things like that. So it's very strange, but the quicker you learn that it doesn't matter what anyone else says, just as long as you know what you're doing and why you're doing it, and that your customers are happy at the end of the day, it really doesn't matter how you get the result.
That was the one thing that always stood out for me, and only this last way back have I started to really take that as gospel, where it's, you know, something, see, as long as the customer's happy, that's who's paying my wages, that's who's paying the bills, putting food on the table. I don't need, you know, a kind of you to give me your blessing that everything's good. It's, and I think a lot of the guys, especially up and coming guys, you know, you're always out to try and impress. Like, I can remember, and I have no shame in admitting it, whenever I first started out, about a year or two in late, and I used to put posts of my work up, and, you know, I would spend a good half hour, 45 minutes trying to word it, what way to word it. And if I
remember, you used to always ask me for advice.
I used to ask you, you know, fucking, I felt like Joey and a friend, you know, where he writes a letter with a face, and it's trying to throw a few smart words in there. But it was like, if it didn't get the interaction that I thought, then I took that, like, that hurt my pride. And it was like, I thought that would have got more. And you used to delete the post. And like, looking back now, you're like, Jesus Christ, like, that's how bad it got you at times, you know?
But you were looking the interaction from your peers within the industry, weren't you? It wasn't, you weren't looking for the interaction from potential customers at that point. It was more a pat on the back from the guys that were doing the job.
Exactly. And
that's the issue with a lot of people, is that instead of focusing on who they really should be focusing on, they're writing their posts and adverts and, you know, details of the jobs that they've carried out for other detailers. And the reality is, other detailers are never going to spend money with you. They're never going to be your customer. So why are you focusing on them? The quicker you realize that and put things into simple terms and address it to the general public and your customer, then the quicker you're going to get a better business out of it.
Yeah, that's a great analogy of it, to be honest with you, because, you know, just thinking back there, you know, that's exactly what it was. You weren't wording it. I mean, because me and you both know, we could write a post now and word it, and it's going to go straight over half of our customers' heads because they don't know.
Absolutely.
We're trying to hit the right words and the right points there, so as someone who maybe you've seen up a wee bit higher on a pedestal would go, oh, fuck, he knows what he's talking about. And, yeah,
I think that's your ego. It's your ego.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, I definitely agree there 100%.
You're looking for instant recognition from other people within the trade just to feed your own ego. And the minute that gets out of your head, the more stable you're going to be in your business, in your own head, and forget about and worrying about other people. You know, that's it. That's the main thing. It takes a while to learn that, but when you do learn it, it makes a huge difference. Huge.
Yeah, definitely. I definitely agree with
it. But you know that the way we word things now is probably why we're so popular with training. Instead of trying to blind people with the scientific terms for, you know, all the different chemicals that we use and different processes and try to be scientific, we're not. We're the complete opposite. Cut out the jargon, and then people are actually responsive to that. I think that speaks up way, way more than trying to be hugely technical and look different for the sake of looking different.
No, mate, listen, you know, I mean, even thinking exactly that, you know, even some, like the training days, even over in, when we went over to Scotland, we actually had I'm trying to remember his name, and he had the translators with him.
Yes. His name escapes me as well. Yeah. I speak
to him regularly. Regularly, I would speak to him, and he's always asking advice, and it's like, I remember.
Super nice guy, yeah.
Lovely guy, and the two translators, they were lovely too. And I remember thinking, like, Jesus, like, I mean, you know, it was very surreal. And I think you hit the nail on the head there, you know, because I know personally, you know, even with the kids, like, they would be visual learners rather than, you know, when you're physically showing them something, you know, he picked on easy. And, you know, he took it home and he put it into practice, and it's like, that's exactly it. I think, you know, me and you have had our first year of training days. You know, some of them were impressive, some of them were questionable. And I think you go sometimes, I mean, I could picture myself being, like, starting out, going to a training day and feeling very apprehensive. Me and you both know too well, like, on the training days, it's the last couple of hours where people come out of their shell and start to loosen up and feel comfortable to lift the machine and not worry about who's looking at them and ask a question without feeling like, oh Jesus, everyone's looking at me. And I think it's the atmosphere of a crate, because me and you can float through.
Yeah, but we've got better at that. Being nervous, it's your and I job to make people feel comfortable that they will ask the questions and that they will get hands on. And you notice in the last few years that we've been doing it that happens much easier now than it was always in the first ones. We'd people that didn't want to touch a machine at all, but they paid for training. But now everyone's just jumping hands on. But it's because we have learned how to make people feel welcome and comfortable. We take the piss out of each other quite often. And when we are taking the piss out of each other, then the rest of the group starts it, and that starts to break down a few walls and gets people familiar with us. And, you know, I think we're better at that. I think it's a huge, huge part of us doing the job, is making people feel comfortable within the training setting. So, I mean, you know yourself, they started, what, group days? Must be 5 or 6 years ago now. And as every single group, we ask for the feedback, and it's a constant evolution to try and be the best, really, to make us not to be viewed as our peers, as the best trainers on the planet, but to actually be.
It's just made the only competition we're in is with ourselves. It's just to make training better. That's it. And that's nail on the head there. You know, and I think that's the thing again with training. And, you know, me and you both know too well that other people might be doing it, but at the end of the day, whilst we are doing training. We have also attended training days to be trainees.
100%.
You know what I mean? So it's kind of, you're always trying to better yourself. I mean, you know, Alan of AM Details, shout out to Alan, absolute gentleman. You know, I remember the route pay system, you know, there was a lot of negative feedback towards it.
Yeah, and it wasn't a lot from me as well. I really didn't like it. But as Alan does with every training day, he starts off by asking, what are you here to learn? And my hand went up and it was, you know, this combination doesn't work for me. Can you show me? And, you know, he used it a very different way than I did. And you learn from it. There's often too many people that will jump on and ridicule a product without actually trying various different methods with it before giving it some negative airtime, you know?
Yeah, mate, to be honest with you, I think that's it. You know, it was that type that it would have got a lot of like negative feedback, that pad and this combination, no, it's nonsense. But when Alan came over and actually again showed you, and you know, it perfectly lined there at the start, right, guys, what are you here to learn? What's your issues? Because most of the people, I mean, that training day, there was more than 2/3 of the class was professionals.
Yeah.
And they all had issues with the range. And at the end of the day, you know, we all took something away from it. And it meant that on training days, me and you were able to kind of use that on our training days when people said, to be honest with you, it's all hype, this, that, and the other. But we would say, well, to be honest with you, we attended a training day. What about, you know, we'll show you this. And then people were like, right, okay. And I think it's too easy for people, you know yourself, mate, how many times has a product that me and you and every other person who knows the product or the range knows it's a good product and it's worth its weight, and people are on slandering it, and it's like, right, okay, there's an issue here. Have you been, I mean, only today, me and you were both on giving advice today because there was a guy on slandering the Tarn Glue remover. You know, when the reality was, you know, it wasn't the actual product. There was nothing wrong with the product. It was the bottle that you put in.
Yeah.
You know, and it's, I think it's just too easy for people to go on.
It is. You've nailed on the head there again, Margot. It's easy. You did not have social media when detailing had started, and you couldn't go on and easily give bad or negative feedback on a product. Now, the general thing for people is, if they're thinking about something new, is go and look at reviews or go and look at what's being said on social media. And it's just a minefield. And you know from training as well, on social media, you can very quickly look like an expert with no experience whatsoever.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Every single one of these detailing pages you go on and there's someone talking about the best product here, the best. And then you ask them, what have you tried? He says, well, this is the first one we've tried. Of course it's going to be the best. There's nothing to compare it to.
Exactly.
It's absolutely rife, you know, but I think that's where, you know, we try to excel a little bit, is that we are constantly trying new and different products to be able to provide good and better training. You know, for me, I always feel like it's a DJ without the latest track. You know, if someone comes into my training and says, have you tried this? And I say, no, I feel guilty. You know, I feel I'm not doing my job. I need to be out there and trying all these new things. And yes, it can be expensive, and yes, it can be, you know, a complete waste of time. But everything, you know, you know, for the collection of crap that I have built up over the years, with polishers and polish and all this kind of thing, it's all used for training now. But this was all based on reading online. Oh, this is the best thing, you need to go and try it. Thankfully, I didn't throw anything out, and now we use it for training and guys get the experience of them.
How much money did we spend back then, you know? Jesus Christ, like every day. You know why? Me and you both had to start landing the partners' waves and saying, oh, we won that. And I think they actually cottoned on after a while that, you know, we didn't have that money.
Excuse me, I have never lied to my wife. I won a lot of competitions.
You're a fucking liar.
Piss away off.
Lisa must be in the room there, so you're fooling no one, okay? so it's, we'll bar them from listening to this anyway, we'll bar them to them.
You see, one of my biggest fears, Marco, is if when I die, Lisa sells everything for what I told her I paid for it.
Oh, mate, I think, to be honest, I think that's a lot of guys' fear, you know? I mean, like me and you both know, like even from the training days as well, like I mean, some of the guys just throw money. And
yeah,
this is the thing, it's crazy because some of the guys that come on the training days have been on our training days, and I think it's already telling someone, this product's brilliant, buy this, buy that. But when you show them what can be achieved with it, and half the time, you know, as me and you both know, and I've spoke to Andy about this as well, that anytime people come to a training day, they usually say, whenever they see the table with all the different ranges of polishes and machines, oh, I don't like that machine, and I don't like that polish, and I don't like that range of pods. Yeah. And then you say, well, what do you not like about it? Well, this and that and the other. And then you show them, and then, oh, right, hold on, I'm doing something wrong. You don't even have to open your book, you know, and it's things like that. It's great to be able to show people that, you know, at the start of the training day, you came here, you hated that range, and you're going to sell it up. And at the end of the training day, now you've picked up something and you want to go home and use it properly.
Yeah, yeah. Well, this is it, and I think this is why we're different, is that there's no real agenda when it comes to training with us. It's here is what's available to you. Get trying everything. And if you want to pick something up that we aren't, you know, using every day of the week, we still know how to use it, and we can show you how to get the best potential from it, and you make your own decision from it. You know, I don't think most people realise is the one reason that we started the training was purely down to that we had been to another training event. You remember that? Oh, Jesus Christ, we were made to feel like the dicks in the room there. And it was Maguire's training day, and they only wanted to use what they sold. So it was just a sales pitch at the end of the day. And we were asking very, very valid questions, you know, the likes of tar remover and fallout remover. And of course, Maguire's at the time didn't have tar and glue remover or fallout, and those steps were skipped. No, you're only feeding someone else's pockets there. You don't need to do that step and all this kind of rubbish. And we both came out of that thinking, we can do a better job than that. We can be more honest and give better information. And Jesus, what an evolution that had been. I mean, that was 7 years ago. In the last 24 months, I think we have trained 900, in the region of 900 in the last 24 months. Crazy. Absolutely crazy.
Crazy is right. You know, it's still hard to believe, you know, and look at the many friendships, you know, even, you know, we set up, you know, that was a great thing to do, to set up the training page.
And, right, your idea as well.
You know, it was great for people to keep in touch. And you see it yourself, like every day there's people posting in, and it's great to see fellow attendees answering questions, you know, because they've either come up against this problem, they've used that product, it's best to do this. And it's great to see. And like we always say, look, guys, there's no egos. We're all just here to help each other. Whether you're doing it as an enthusiast or it's a business or whatever.
Yeah. The number one phrase that I think is the most rewarding for me in any of our training is the only silly questions are the questions you don't ask.
Yeah.
The minute we say that, people realize, like, you know, these guys genuinely will answer anything that they're asked on a training day. And it might be something that's on a different training day. You know, they might be on a foundation and they're asking for more advanced knowledge, but we're happy to share it. You know, it's never money focused. It's never, no, you haven't paid for that information. We're just,
I
genuinely like helping people within the industry. I feel a lot of reward from it. Developing careers out of it. And the huge benefit for me as well is actually seeing people that I've met on our training days that have turned into be absolutely epic friends that are talking to each other every day and working together, collaborating and things like that. It's brilliant. It's so rewarding.
Very rewarding. Yeah, 100%, mate. I get great satisfaction from that, you know. And like you say, that helping people, like there's a reward system, and to me, that makes me feel good, you know, that builds me up, help people. And like you say, like we always say at the end of training days, you know, add us on Facebook, join the group, keep in touch, you know, let us know how you're getting on. And like, mate, there's not a day goes by where I'm not getting a message from someone, you know, I'm up against this, I'm up against that, what would you do here? Remember that day, remember you were telling me about this car you had, I have similar. And I genuinely enjoy it, you know. It's still a job I love to do. Now, due to this whole COVID thing, I'm really missing it big time. You know, we've missed out on quite a few things, and I always enjoy them.
And well, hopefully we'll be back to it in April here. We have the Zwicker course in April planned anyway, so fingers crossed that goes ahead, because I'm the same. You know, I'm sort of getting my hit of training, because you know I do have people coming still for one-on-one training, but the group days is certainly missing. You know, that's where you get a lot of banter and crack, and you know what Andy's like as well. We can take the piss out of him, and I missed his taking the piss out of him quite a bit.
Andy also taking the piss out of himself. He's walking about with his arse hanging out on the daily. You know,
you miss that arse sometimes. You know, when you're walking by yourself.
And he loves to show it off. You know, and I think he's been getting it lately, so he's. He's prepping for a good summer.
I for his missus, because he must be walking about with his crack out 24/7 there. Just to
I think he's doing this squat challenge as well, so he's going to have he's going to have bums of steel here come a good weather.
Oh Jesus, he's going to have an ego then if he's doing bum busters.
So it's, tell me this,
yes,
about the training this. Give me a wee bit of insight into the first time had felt for you whenever you got invited to go over to Spain for to meet Swizzer, because Swizzer has been, you know, a great thing for you, for me, and Gary. Shout out to Gary at Autopia and
Gary. Don't be calling him Gary. No.
Don't be calling him
Gary. Oh Jesus, no.
So
he'll not be getting any favors when they're down next time.
Yeah, any of our Southern guests here listening, Gerry.
Yeah, well, I mean, to be honest with you, I was a bit suspicious, to be completely honest.
Swizzer was a completely new range. You had literally just heard about this.
I had seen a couple of high-end detailers in Europe that were starting to scream and shout about it. These people that were very well respected within the industry, I started seeing, you know, bottles on shelves in the background and things like that. And I just messaged them, asked them, was there any UK suppliers? I had no real interest in being a distributor or selling the product, to be completely honest. But I wanted to give it a try just to see if it was a better product for me doing my job. So they sent me over a few products, and the first car I did, absolutely epic. Couldn't believe the results that I was getting in a faster fashion. And rang Gerry and says, you need to get this stuff in. You're bigger than I am. I don't have the room to be a distributor, but they have offered me distribution. But I have said that you would be a better fit. But if you do bring it in, I want it for Northern Ireland. So we made that agreement. Shortly after that, he brought it in. He went both feet into it. I think he ordered 20 grand worth of product into Ireland, which is not huge on the grand scheme of things for product distribution, but still a considerable figure. And it was gone fairly quickly. And I think the owner sort of saw the potential, because the first order had went and
the sales were going so well.
He realized the potential, and next minute I get a call from Gerry saying that the owner wanted the both of us out to Spain, and I was like, why does he want us out in Spain, and what do I need to pay for a flight and everything to get over to meet this guy that we're buying products off? And he says, no, he's met the bill. He's paid for the flights over. He's paid. He's going to pick us up. He's going to put us in the hotel. But the question was still, why?
Yeah.
And it came down to that he wanted to meet us face to face. He was very much an old school gentleman that wants to know the people that he's in business with. We got out there, and I don't know, I don't want to generalize, but Germans I would always find very difficult to judge their sense of humor, and it was very dry to begin with. And of course, a Northern Irish accent, a Southern Irish accent, and a German accent in the same car, it was you needed subtitles there, definitely.
Sounds like a potty Irishman, potty Scotsman, potty Englishman joke, you know.
I think we got our sense of humour aligned fairly quickly, and then it was evident that I was there to kind of be tested.
I remember you telling me, you know.
Yeah, we went to a training centre, and Detlef he pulled out some sanding paper and says, "Okay, I finger fucked this," and he took sanding paper to freshly painted panels. Yep. Screwed it up to an inch of its life, and he says, "Okay, you fix." It was I looking around waiting for him to go, "I'm only joking, I don't know," but anyway, he says, "You have every product in the shop, you have the whatever polisher you want to use, and whatever pad you want to use." But I was being tested, really, is the nuts and bolts of it. He wanted to see if, you know, I think he's well aware that you can look like an expert online, but he wants the technical know-how of someone within the country to be able to offer training or certainly technical advice if they were selling his product. So, I nailed that. He sanded it. I got the rotary out, took the wool pad out. It was fresh paint. I kept the temperature down and took it out within 3 minutes. He looked at it and walked out of the room, and I, again, shitting myself, looked at Jerry and says, "Do you see anything wrong with that? Because to me, it looks fairly perfect." He came over, had a look, says, no, it's absolutely perfect. There's nothing wrong there. And Detlef came in, walking in. He says, "Okay, we do business together." And it was, wipe the forehead type moment. But since then, we've been going strength to strength with them. I have a very, very good relationship with Detlef. Our sense of humour is very good. We talk quite often, and he would always ring for technical information and things like that. And he loves the work that we're doing, and you included. He loves to see that we're training, and the guys that we have trained are turned into massive fans because they know how to work a system hugely efficiently and effectively. And that's all we can do in terms of training is show them how to get the absolute best from it. So that's why I was in Spain. He really wanted to see if I knew what I was talking about.
Yeah. But
thankfully I did.
See, that's funny. You mentioned that, and you know, at the time, the training wasn't even mentioned. It was more product knowledge. He wanted to know, like you say, anybody can, and maybe, you know, from speaking to you and seeing some of your posts, he's thought, this guy knows what he's talking about. But I wonder, in reality, does he know what he's talking about?
Yeah, there's a difference between action and talking. And
exactly.
That's really what he was looking for, was, is this guy a good detailer? Where, if someone asks a question, is the first thing he does is go and look for the answer on the internet? Or can he actually do it without any, because we didn't have a phone in front of us. He wanted practical evidence. That
You can do all the theory in the world, but until you can get nitty gritty with the practical, it's a different story.
You're listening, it's paid off, and wow, to be, as I said at the start there, to be invited to different countries from what started from cleaning your car in your driveway, it's just I honestly still can't get over it, and it always very, very humbling that people want you in different countries to hear what you have to say about different systems and how you
do. Our friends call it holidays, we call it work, but sure.
Well, that's a different podcast altogether there. You might want to do a wives one.
Yeah, we'll probably have to. Maybe get them involved.
Maybe we shouldn't post up pictures of us sitting in the sun with a beer in front of us.
It's
really hard to justify as work.
Yeah. Someone got the champagne and all, maybe we shouldn't have posted the stripper. Yeah, we shouldn't have. Should have left that. But you know something? You talking about going over and getting tested by Detlef, which brings me on to my next question, which was one that John Hogg at Angel Wax, shout out to John. John had asked about about the accreditation. So whenever you do the Swissair testing, and this was something that we had spoke at length at, because me and you and a lot of our guys in the industry knew that there was certain days that you could go on, you could pay and you literally get a certificate at the end. And something that me and you always emphasize, me, you and Andy, shall I say, always emphasize on training days is, regardless of what the training day is, that this is a foundation and it's up to you to leave 100%. And build on that foundation.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think a lot of guys think that whenever they come on training days that, you know, they do the training, they get their certificate at the end. Now, our training days, you get a certificate of attendance. The Swizzer, you get the certificate. But one thing that you wanted and Detlef wanted from the very, very start was, look, I think if we're going to bring this onto the market, that we want to be above, we want to set a standard, that we want to be able to test people at the end of the training days to show that they've listened, that they've learned, that they have an idea of what they're doing, which pod, which polish. And to be honest with you, that was always a great thing for me. And one had asked earlier about, you know, what would be your requirements for accreditation?
Yeah. Well, listen, accreditation is one of those topics that's always going to divide opinions within the industry. For me, accreditation means absolutely nothing unless it's for a specific reason. So accreditation with Swizzer isn't a certificate to give you access to different products. It's not like that. The accreditation from Swizzer is to really a certificate to say that you have been shown the most efficient practices, and at the end of the 2 days training, you have met those requirements. So the Swizzer didn't adopt a testing phase at the end of their course, but it was really on the back of a conversation with yourself, Marco, that we kind of wanted it to be, this isn't being given out for cash, because quite literally you could pay the 800 euro, not attend, and get a certificate. What's the point in a paid for certificate to stick on the wall? It's just as equivalent to a 5 meter swimming badge that you got in primary school. It doesn't make you better at your job. But I really wanted it to be, you know, you were getting value for your certification with Swizzer. So we adopted a testing approach to it. So, you know, we have 10 to 15 questions at the end of the training day to show that the guys have listened. There is practical examinations. Should I say, finger fuck the paint with some sand and paper, as shown by Detlef. And we get guys to remove that fully to a high gloss finish. It's up to them what method they want to, but it should be in an efficient fashion. So the aim for me in any of our training is that we can try and drill in some efficiency. Let's be honest, as I said earlier, everyone can wash a car, but we are really trying to get guys to be earning well with this. Most guys are self-employed, and you could be employed by someone else and making more money from it, but I always say the same. I don't like increasing prices. I would prefer to increase my efficiency to get more jobs in the same amount of time. And that's what we really aim for in the training. Accreditation is just one of those topics that's always going to divide. And I've never liked the idea of paid for certificates. What I can understand, the training is definitely close to my heart. I really do think the training is worthwhile. But there is guys that will want to come on training just for the certificate. Yeah. That shouldn't be an aim. That really shouldn't be an aim to training is, you know, you want to have something on the wall at the end. Your aim for training should be, I want to be better. I want to be more efficient. I want more knowledge. I want more experience. That should be the aim before you come into any training, not as a certificate on the wall. Because I could make you up a certificate from Microsoft Paint, stick it on the wall, and, you know, does that get more customers in? You know, I could stick on whatever badge I wanted to, make up a
name. Customers, there might as well be Chinese written on the wall.
Exactly. It doesn't mean anything to the general public.
Whenever we're doing the training days, I mean, you know, there's a lot of guys come from like a body shop background, or maybe they've been volleying for 10, 15 years, and they have a conception in their head that works for them, and then yeah. they're doing these new tools, new products, a new system, a faster way, you know, to make you more efficient at your job.
Yeah.
But they're just so used to their ways that it's hard for them.
Exactly.
Yeah. And we've seen that.
Getting body shop guys in, because it's a huge transformation for those guys, because let's be honest, most body shop guys have been an apprentice at 17, fired in and given a converted angle grinder and said, yeah. right, give that car a buff, with no real teaching or knowledge. They're handed the polish and the pad and told to go. The challenging thing for us is that people with bad habits are much harder to teach with than people with no experience.
Cheat, so to speak.
Exactly. A clean sheet for us is much easier, because you don't need to drill out those bad habits. With the guys that have been doing it a while, it tends to take a wee while for them to it becomes sort of muscle memory for them, where they maybe listen to you and then 15 minutes after they've started implementing the way, or trying to implement the way you've been teaching, they're going back to their old practices.
Exactly. It's just slowly slips back in.
Yeah, it takes a while to get those guys. But I love it, because the stuff that most body shops are using is just so old technology. And when you're able to show them something that's way more advanced, that can get their job done quicker, cheaper, and get the cars done to a much higher standard, it transforms the way those guys work. And they become passionate about it again. And that's, for me, if you can inject to guys... It for me, you know, see any training that we do, you know, and you mentioned Alan earlier on, anytime Alan comes over, he fills me full of enthusiasm again. And
the way Alan does his training was very, very good to see, you know, the way he talked about inviting people to the party. I love the way he done that in the whiteboards, you know, it was just amazing. And
something
them.
That we had already been teaching, Marco, but in a memorable way.
Yeah, that's exactly it. You know,
it's fantastic.
And you know, it's great to see other people in doing the same thing and just have a different approach to how they do it, and yet we're able to implement that in ours, and it's great. I love that. You know, we're always learning, we're always picking up something from somebody. And you know, me and you have that many relationships in the industry where it's great. You know, we're working and comfortable to ask questions, and you know, what would you do in this scenario?
Well, we have Alan coming over in June, hopefully, again, for another 3-day training event. You should try and get down to that one, Marco, in terms of business. You see, Alan's business head. I thought I was pretty good at business. I'd certainly
learned a lot.
I pull things away every single time he's over. It doesn't need to be Alan, it can be other people within the industry. You will get different things from different people, and working with different people. You know, we're part of this professional detailers network in Northern Ireland, and working alongside various different guys within the industry that are working to a very high standard, you'll pull wee snippets of what they do, and you'll evolve and make up your own way of doing things, and that you learn from everyone. It's constant.
Me and you both know it. You know, people we've met along the way, you're always picking wee bits of information up. You know, and it's great that we're able to do it. Listen, I'm wary of time. We're at 58 minutes, and listen, we can only do an hour at the moment. I'm trying to make it longer. But look, listen, to finish off, mate, I have one question. It was actually Naomi had picked the question. And it was a question I wanted to ask you, and it was just for you to give advice to people. So what advice would you give someone who's considering starting out in our game?
Pretty simple. There's a couple of things. Be careful who you listen to. Choose who you think or research who you're getting advice from. Because everyone's an expert. The other thing is, if the passion isn't there, don't even start, don't bother. If you are not a petrol head and you don't like to see the instant before and after result, then there is no point starting this job, because you're not going to be a millionaire overnight, put it that way. The other thing is, be open to learning and training with various different people. to learn different topics. Don't think that YouTube is going to teach you an awful lot, because there's so much conflicting information there. And the other thing would be to stay humble. It's very easy to be egotistical when you're getting fantastic results. Just stay humble. I mean, don't be a dick. It's one of your mottos. Don't be a dick.
Love that motto. Fucking love that motto.
Yeah. Enjoy what you're doing. Have passion for it. And don't worry about what other people within the industry think.
Well, look, listen, mate. We've got a couple of seconds left here. Mate, thank you very much for being a guest. We'll have to do a part two down the lane. Maybe me and Andy could sort one out as well.
Yeah, perfect, mate. Listen, pleasure. Take it easy.